I did take that truck to try my driver's test.
No.
The first two times.
No. So yeah, I learned how to drive. Like all my permit driving was in our big blue truck. Mm-hmm. But then I had to borrow my grandma's Oldsmobile for my driver's test.
As a beginner driver, like switching vehicles is like, it's so much more challenging than it is now.
To be fair, yeah, I probably should have practiced driving my grandma's Oldsmobile a couple times before I took my driver's test.
Oh my God, it was the first time. Did you pass on the first time? No. Yes.
I did. But per the instructor, to this day, I will remember, he said, unfortunately, you passed. And I'm not a bad driver. I'm not a bad driver.
Was that a dick move on his part that he likes to play that joke on kids?
I don't know. But like, obviously, like it was a new car. So I struggled in the parallel parking. And then I was nervous. So like,
oh, yeah, who isn't?
So I think there was this one, like going one way, turning onto a one way. So
making sure they always try to fuck you up.
Like making sure you were in the right lane to turn on the one way. So I had just almost missed that because I was like, oh shit, yeah, this is the thing. So it was just like tiny, tiny little things. Did I like get in an accident or something? No. I swear I'm a good driver.
I was like, fuck the van. I don't want to be seen driving the van, even though like I did drive the van. And I was like, I'm taking my driver's test in my dad's truck. And like I practiced in the truck and I drove the truck. And so I got my farmer's permit.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys don't know what that is, when you turn 15, you can get a farmer's permit if you like work on a farm with your family so that you can drive and do farm things specifically. It's specifically for farm things.
Yeah.
Does anybody in the town I grew up in use it for farm things?
No.
They all drive to school on it.
I was going
to
say it's loose enough. Well, because that's considered farm things, right? Like, cause
really?
It was basically as long as you drove, you couldn't drive at night and you couldn't drive on the interstate. But you could basically at 15 be driving vehicles. And the reason why you could drive it to school is because the thought was that so you could get back to the farm.
Oh, to start working.
To work. So you didn't have to wait on the buses.
Gotcha. Well, I got my farmer's permit and it didn't matter because I didn't have a vehicle to drive.
Sure.
So like, it didn't help me out at all.
Right.
But anyway, I didn't want to take the van to do my test. So I took the truck and Dad and I set up cones in my grandma's big, like gravelly front yard. And
oh, sure.
I practiced the parallel parking and I was like, I could do this. And I show up for the test. I swear to God, the spot they had marked off for me to park in was the exact same size as the truck. And I was like, I cannot park here.
Right.
There's no way you're setting me up for success. And so like, I messed that up twice because I was set up to fail.
Yeah.
But then on the third time, they're like, if you fail three times, then you have to start paying to take the test. Mm-hmm. So on the third time, I was like, I'm taking the van because I am passing. And guess what? I did amazing in the van. Sure. I did my 90-degree backing good. I did my parallel parking good.
Sure.
I will say the first time I took the driver's test, I did run a red light. But it was the right turn on red, so I was like, I slowed down, but I didn't like come to a complete stop before I turned red. Yeah, and like, honestly, I would say that was something that they missed in the training of the driver to explicitly go through, you know, right turn on red. Mm. Anyway, stupid. Like, you failed because you illegally drove whatever. And I was like, fine. So, yeah, am I going to sit here on a podcast and say I'm a good driver?
Welcome to Rough Around the Hedges.
You plead the fifth. I can be. I'm not always. Yes, welcome to Rough Around the Hedges. Hey, you got to do it this time. I'm Kaylin.
And I'm Christine.
We're going to talk about
humidity.
Woo! This is what is that even laugh? This is a tangent I like to go off on because
let's talk about
everybody.
Everybody
says you need humidity. You need humidity. Blah 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 blah. Okay, I've grown plants since what was it? I became a crazy plant lady in 2019. So I'm on year. It's gonna be 6 years this year that I've been a crazy plant lady for. I've tried stuff. I like to experiment. I like to do things for science. And I found what I do and do not need humidity for in what I grow. And I like to debunk a lot of people's claims that this needs humidity. And I'm very direct about it, which in the Midwest is not normal. So
people
I come
don't
off,
like, yeah.
I come off rude and pushy. But like, I have strong opinions and like, I've tested them for myself. I see what works. And like, when somebody is claiming it needs humidity, I'm like, try putting it in a window.
Does it? Yeah.
So
How about we water it more frequently?
Yeah. There are other things to try first before you try humidity. So,
what is humidity?
Humidity is the, what is it, the moisture in the air? Mm-hmm. And measured as a percentage.
Yeah, it's the level of moisture content in the air.
Yeah, so like if someone says you have dry air, you know, you have very limited water in the air. You should know what humidity is, but like how do we describe this with words?
Yeah, right. So, okay. In case, friends, we don't know, there's water. I mean, there's a bunch of shit happening around us in the air all the time that we can't see. And one of that is water vapor. The water is literally being, what's the word? Evaporated out of
everything,
especially outside. You know, there's things called morning dew, and then that's a certain evaporates throughout the day, and that's where humidity comes from. That stuff is vaporizing and moving upward. That is humidity.
You also have bodies of water.
Yes. Even though you can't see it, yes, you can go to, you know, a greenhouse, a conservatory, the jungle, and quite literally see humidity in the air. That's what, you know, the misty fog in the air is.
Like the cloud forest.
That doesn't mean it isn't happening around us at all times. It's just very lower.
Yep.
Percentage.
And like if you think about it, like you're in Arizona, you're in the desert, like there's a lot limited water hanging out there, so like naturally it's drier.
Yeah,
and you can feel the difference. You disagree?
No, I was about to say I don't know if there's anywhere in the world where there's zero humidity.
Maybe on certain days.
Maybe for certain times.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything's ever at zero.
Zero, zero, zero,
all
zero.
All the time.
What about if we're like Southern California and it's like a 100-day drought?
Stuff still looks evaporating.
Yeah.
Even if there's plants, they are producing humidity.
Transpiration.
They are transpiring.
Yep.
So we're sweating. You know, we are like, there is contributation there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Not contributation. Contribution. There is contribution
there. That's a new word. I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. So when we're growing plants.
Yes.
Why does this matter?
Because 99.999999% of the plants that we grow are supposed to be outside. Thus,
our lawyers told us we had to say that.
Thus, they have a natural need for some humidity.
The process the plant goes through when it photosynthesizes, like, man, what is the science word to say this? Like, the plant is going to transpire, like, the humidity will help the plant do these things better if there's, like, some level of moisture in the air. Mm-hmm. For a lot of plants, it's not end-all, be-all, but think about their natural growing environment. If you have, like, a rare anthurium that's used to growing in, like, tropical jungles, like, you might not be happy in your 30% humidity living room in the Midwest in winter. You can definitely acclimate things and grow them, however, but some plants acclimate better than others, and some plants don't want to acclimate at all.
Yeah.
So, like, in my experience, there's been some plants that they will grow so great if they have just a little added humidity.
Yep.
Versus when I've tried to grow them out in, like, my living room, they don't really grow. They grow, but they struggle, but they just never look as good. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I switch them into humidity, and I see it firsthand. Like, now I have this Begonia Rex that is lush and full and big and beautiful. Like, clearly he prefers it here versus in my lower humidity living room. So,
right.
You'll see a lot of people on the internet telling you this plant needs humidity. There's some questions to ask when someone's telling you this. Like, first, where has the plant been growing? What's the conditions it's like? What are the possibilities for me growing it in different conditions? And then you have to do the whole, like, process to get it there. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to shock it and get a lot of crispy leaves and then just make it grow in the new spot. But, like, I think we all like pretty plants who look nice.
Yeah.
Our inclination will be to, we want to transition it slowly from high humidity to low humidity. And then you may realize it's not good in low humidity, you have to put high humidity.
Right.
Yeah. So, what is your, you have a built-in humidifier, we can't ask you.
Actually, no, I don't use it anymore.
Oh. What is your humidity average in your house in the summer-ish?
In the summer, 56 to 60.
Nice.
It can get pretty, in the winter? Right now it's sitting at like a solid 30%.
Yeah, I've had a hygrometer, which if you are unfamiliar, the hygrometer is the little meter that measures the amount of humidity in the air. Yep. It'll give you a percentage. I have the one that tells me my high and low for the last 24 hours, which is nice.
And I also have, and I'm sure you have the same one, or also tells you the temp too. Gives you
Mine tells me both.
And it sits there and tells me that I have low humidity, and I'm like, whatever.
Fuck you. Yeah, in the winter, Like, I'm not currently measuring it because I don't care, because I've measured it before. I know, and it's not changing. It's usually about 30%.
Yeah.
In the winter, and we consider that low.
Yep.
If it was like 12, that's obviously even lower.
Yeah.
But 30 is meh. 50% like 50% humidity is pretty okay humidity.
Yeah.
If we're talking about like 80% humidity, we call that high humidity.
Yep.
You can do 99-100% humidity. However, that is not something you want for growing. That's something you can use to establish or to like help out
to start
rehab plants. Yep. Yep. Or to like start your seeds. But like plants don't need 100% humidity. Like 80 is going to be fantastic for them.
Yeah.
So like we don't have to like seal all of our cabinets 100% so it stays at 100% humidity. Like, man, if you actively grew a plant in 100% humidity, I feel like you take it out for 10 hours or like, you know, an hour, it's going to just melt.
Well, and that's okay. So that's a really good point to make, is that it doesn't stay at 100% humidity. Like if your plant, if your cabinet hits 100%, you know, once a day, not the end of the world. If it stays at 100%. Because you are going to melt your plants staying in that too, because the water,
there's nowhere for the water to go. I would argue
that if it's staying at 100% humidity, it's not that your humidity is too high, you have no airflow. Mm. These are things you have to balance. So if you have 100% humidity and your plants are staying at 100% humidity, that means there's no airflow. That means that moisture is just going to sit on your plant's leaves.
And that's bad.
And they will melt that way.
Have you ever... I mean,
yes, I have done it.
I have too, but my brain was like asking the listeners that question. Oh, okay. And I just like stopped because I was like, they're not going to answer this.
Well, they'll come to the Discord and answer.
Well, they can, but they can't.
They can't answer.
It's not how this works.
live tweeting.
Somebody call in right now. Yes, I've had it. You've had it. Like, mm-hmm. It's almost like you touch the leaf. It kind of looks translucent and then it crumbles when you touch it. It just disintegrates. It just falls apart. It's like already... I wouldn't say rotting is the right word, but like there's no integrity to that leaf at all.
No. And you do run the risk of rot too when stuff stays just at high humidity. Yeah. You're introducing potential mold and fungus, and just that kind of stuff just breeds in those situations. So you have to be careful.
Yeah. Airflow is great. Airflow is key. We want airflow. 80% humidity is high humidity, and your plants will probably like it, but that is not
my
what you
goal,
need to strive for.
My goal, I don't try to hit 100%. My goal for stuff just living in cabinets, just in cabinets, not in baggies or starter plants or anything like that, 76 to 86. That's
damn, that's good.
That's where I'm happiest. Shit. Is if I can get my stuff to stay in that.
My stuff will get more humid after I water, and then it dries out, it'll go down. If I went into my tent right now, I would tell you it's probably at like 53 and it gets down to 40.
Yeah. When I start seeing my and that's where hygrometers are great, because when I see it start to hit like that 65,
you know, 60, to water.
56 range, I'm like, oh yeah, I water shit.
I used to pay attention.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm more attentive than your average plant person, but also right now I'm in a place where I'm just like,
yeah,
and keeping stuff alive to keep stuff alive. Yeah, and not enjoying it, not paying attention.
Having stuff in the basement is a downside, whereas my stuff I'm literally staring at every day. You know,
that is the stuff upstairs I stare at every day anyway. It's the same for those guys. And actually, I would argue I spend more time in the tent because I have the lights on high and I have the fan going and stuff in the coat, like the coco coir. There's so much aeration in that shit. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It was the peat when the plants at the big box stores came in, just straight peat that it was bad.
Oh, yeah.
You remember people were complaining about that. For some reason I was like, why does everyone hate cocoa? No, it wasn't cocoa. The cocoa core is great. It's super airy, but like, I have to water more. Mm. It doesn't help that I have the lights on. They're probably getting like 7-8 DLI, which is a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not getting the humidity because I'm not watering as often because I'm not really paying attention. But I do have to come in and check on the tent more often because of those things. So
sure.
Check on the tent more than the upstairs plants.
Fair.
In the tent right now, so I don't, like I was just saying, I'm not trying to keep the tent up at a certain humidity. I'm not running humidifier in there at all. The plants that I do want to be in higher humidity, I have Ziploc bags. Mm-hmm. So like if I'm going to root some Hoyas, I'll stick them in a Ziploc bag. I actually just went to Target and got two more of those like little totes, like the hand totes.
Oh, sure.
And I sealed up one of the lids with some foamy tape. But that is where I put all the Hoyas that I'm starting over. Mm-hmm. I put one of each of them in that thing, put the lid on it, put it on my shelf under the lights, boom, done. Mm-hmm. So that is just a nice, easy, like little containment unit so I can have high humidity so they can root. It's got the clear lid so it's diffusing the light a little bit.
Sure.
High light keeps the moisture in. I don't really have to water them. And that's also how I'm starting those anthurium seedlings.
Nice.
So I finally potted up the last of the ones that I sprouted in moss. Put them in pots with soil, watered them, stuck them in the little container dude, and just now we're just letting it go. I don't really have to water them because the water is not going anywhere. It's just recycling itself inside the container. But then they get that high humidity that they're going to want to establish. And then the first round of seedlings that I did, they're bigger. So I'm opening the lid and cracking it just a little so the humidity is less in there so we can start acclimating them to like regular conditions in the tent. Mm-hmm. So they don't need like that special added humidity. And that's how I've been doing my humidity for stuff that needs it, as opposed to just making sure the tent stays humider.
Right.
It's easier. Humid. It's easier that way. More humid.
Yeah.
And you also do the plastic bag trick.
Oh, yeah, 100%. For rooting. Yep.
Even though you have the cabinet.
Even though I have the cabinet.
Keeps the humidity higher.
I just default to, at this point, everything that I'm starting fresh, like as a cutting or a corm or whatever, it's going to go straight into 100% humidity. You're only giving that plant more help, you know. Can I start alocasia and Hoya without any added humidity? Probably. Will they be fine probably in the cabinet at 76%? Probably. But at this point, why not? Just put it in the Parmesan cheese container, put that in a plastic bag, you know. Sorry, once they outgrow the Parmesan cheese container, I open the lid, put that in a plastic bag, let them, you know, get to their 3-4 leaf stage, and then open said bag and let them sit, you know, 3 weeks like that and pull them out. Yes, it's a slow process, but
You're not being a helicopter plant parent.
Not being a helicopter plant parent, and I have 98% success rate this way. You know, it is...
Small steps, baby.
Whatever you can do to get that plant started from the get-go to be a great, healthy plant long-term, yeah, just do it. That being said, though, you know, I think a lot of this episode's going to be, is it actually required? And what are some myths about humidity or how to increase humidity?
Well, if we start with plants, like start with the life cycle.
Yeah.
New stuff, rehabs, baby stuff, all great added humidity.
Yeah.
Like once they get to a certain point, you can wean them off it. Mm-hmm. Like I know the alocasia, they'll get bigger faster sooner if they have that added humidity.
Yep.
And you can establish a nicer, bigger, fuller plant way quicker.
Yeah.
But in the humidity. And then once they get big, you can pull them out and they'll live in your living room just fine.
Yeah, I have a Cuprea on 30% humidity right now.
Yeah.
There are people that'll balk at that idea.
Oh, like, how dare you?
Yeah, no, it's doing just fine.
Yeah, I've seen him. He is.
I mean, he's flowering right now, but he's doing just fine.
Alocasias. my Regal Shield... Regal Shield does not need added humidity. He grew in my living room beautifully just fine. My Metalhead grows beautifully just fine. I have my Zebrina upstairs who, he's definitely winter dormancing, but he still has his leaves. So like he way slowed down. And like he is in a prime spot in the south window because the Zebrina is one that I've had more challenges with. Like when he's doing great, he's doing great. But when he's doing sad, like it's a struggle and I can't, it's not a quick turnaround for him.
Sure.
So he's got prime window spot and he's just not doing anything this winter. I'm hoping he will be happy and start growing once it's time to be summer and go outside.
Sure.
He did well in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't start being a happy guy, he won't be sticking around too much longer, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've grown him long enough that I'm like, if you're not going to be happy, I don't have the energy for you.
Sure.
My Cuprea is down in my tent here. But like I said, I don't really have high humidity in the tent.
Sure.
I have a little, but not a lot. My dragon scale is in here just because he's smaller and I've got him in the light. What else? What other alocasias do I have? Ooh, my stingray. Stingray does just fine without added humidity.
Yeah.
And Arusa did for a while, but he's like the Zebrina where he like wants to struggle for like 6 months.
Yeah.
But I'm regrowing all of those right now. All of the plants I split up from that plant. I potted them up and then they lost all their leaves and now they're trying to think of if they want to live or not.
Yeah, I potted up my Brancifolia and it lost all of its leaves and I'm like, really? I've got a jar of dirt right now and I'm trying to decide if I'm hanging on to it.
Did you do the messing of the roots when you repotted it?
I don't remember. I don't think I was too, like, forceful. I didn't, like, dig out corms or anything.
Yeah.
So, I just didn't like it.
I find alocasia, if they're happy plants, they don't mind a repot whatsoever. But if they're already like, then it's a struggle for them.
Yeah, to be fair, I had the... So I had pulled the The Brancifolia had lived outside for the summer, and I brought it in for the winter and put it in a window, and it was starting to decline, so I threw it in the cabinet to make it happier. And maybe I didn't wait long enough before I repotted it. I don't know. We'll see. Corm's not rotted, so it will grow back.
I have a little bit of a... I was noticing the tangerousas seem like they had root rot. And I'm so... I'm not paying it close enough attention to, like, weed out what's happening, but, like, the plants on my shelf are getting a ton of light. Mm-hmm. I probably am overwatering. But also, they're smaller, and they run out, and then I just, like, I water them, and they're all in trays, and then I let the water sit in the tray for them to soak it up. And, like, I'm torn, because, like, I want to water you good, and I want to make sure you're, like, super hydrated, but, like, am I overwatering you? Am I not? Like, I don't want you to dry out, and you're not drying out when I do it this way, but, like, where is it? Like, you're just an unhappy plant, and where is it my fault? I don't have the brain to figure it out. I can't devote any energy to it right now, so they'll either live or they'll rot, and then, you know, every week I check in on them, like, I'll either throw it out or I'll put it in a different spot, and, like, all my jars of dirt are in a tote right now. The tote does have a crack in it, so it's not good humidity, but it's more than they would be getting. Let's call that airflow. with the hopes that it'll be higher humidity for them to, like, sort their shit out. But also, you know, let's say they all don't make it. Well, ha ha ha, I have the space back. I can't be bothered to care right now.
How do we determine if a plant wants higher humidity?
First, you got to make sure you're not letting it dry out too much. If you're letting your plant go totally dry, like, you might get brown, crispy leaves that are direct result of letting it dry out. If it is humidity related, you will, like, you will see plants get, like, brown, crispy leaves or, like, brown, crispy edges. I was listening to, back in the day, episode of Bloom and Grow Radio where someone came on and said, if the leaf is showing you signs it needs humidity, there will be a crispy brown edge all the way around the leaf.
A uniform.
Keyword, uniform. So if you're seeing that, that's a humidity thing. However, if it is a jaggedy line or, like, it's happening here but not here on this leaf, probably fungus. Or, you know, yeah, it could be
or
just not watering.
Or pests, or leaf dying, or, yeah, it's drying, yeah.
Yeah, depending on the plant. If it's not uniform, it's not humidity. So let's say you have a calathea and it's getting brown, crispy leaves. Sometimes the leaves just completely crisp up and dry off, and sometimes it's, like, here's a patch of brown crispy, here's a patch of brown crispy. Like, if you're not seeing that uniform crisping, not humidity.
It's spider mites.
Well, hold on. What we should do after we finish recording is you go look at my orbifolia.
Oh, sure.
I cannot keep perfect leaves on that thing to save my life. But the leaves are so big, like, I can't be bothered.
When
it doesn't matter.
When it comes to
calathea,
I just default it. It's spider mite.
Well, it could be. It could be. But here's the thing. It's my plant. It's growing upstairs. It doesn't have spider mites. It doesn't. And like, I'll occasionally check. At this point, I'm just used to that plant doing that. If it was smaller, I would probably spray it with copper fungicide a couple times to try and, like, nip the fungus thing in the butt. And I have a feeling it is the fungus. Because I am keeping it watered so that it doesn't dry out. And, like, you've seen that thing. It's huge. It's amazing. It's awesome. But, like, every leaf has some browning. Well, so that's just how it is. And that's how it's been growing. And that's just part of it, you know?
And again, if we look at how, show me a plant in nature that is
perfect.
Immaculate.
You're not going to find it. You'll never find it. It doesn't exist. Some animal's been tramping over it, or
some bird pooped on it. Something ate it.
Yeah. There's so many dirty, crusty leaves in nature, too. Our houseplants look so much nicer.
So, as far as, like, how to tell if a plant needs humidity, I'd say, and this is where you need to have some expertise as a plant, or at least not...
Experience.
If you're doing everything else right, if you know for a fact you are doing everything else right, it's getting enough light, you're watering it consistently and enough.
And I'm going to say you're measuring your light, not just you know it's getting enough light, but you can physically measure it.
Even in the, to the point of you, you're doing your fertilizing correctly, but the plant still just isn't, say it's an alkaloid, it's just not going past
two, three leaf phase. Or if it's a begonia, like, it has some leaves, but it's not a bushy clump. And this is hard, because if you haven't seen the plant look like this, you're not going to know to look for this. So this is where trial and error comes into play, and also just the wanting your plant to look better. And do better.
And this is, Would you fertilize before humidity when it comes to I want my plant to look better?
No.
See, I think I would.
Because like a begonia, if you're fertilizing it, like it's not going to... In the case of begonia, it's not going to help.
Okay.
In the case of alocasia, it might
help.
But I still think humidity is more important.
All right.
For me, when I'm trying to figure out if the plant may or may not want humidity, usually it hasn't been growing in humidity.
Sure.
But there have also been times when I started it in humidity, brought it out, and then ended up putting it back in. Because I'm just observing how the plant is growing and seeing that, like, oh, maybe this isn't actually happy. Or maybe it could be happier. Let's try this.
Sure.
So for me, it's been, like, it's a little scientific method. Trying one thing out, seeing if it works.
The hard part with that, though, is that all plants are going to do better with humidity, you know?
Yes, but. So this is like with my philodendrons. Like, yes, I see that they like humidity. They do better with humidity. But is the noticeable difference that great?
Sure, sure.
So, like, for philodendrons, not really. Like, yes and no, depending on, like, its cost versus benefit. Like, for me, it was having to fill up the humidifier every day and keep the bedroom door closed when I was doing this in my apartment. Alternatively, I don't have to fill that humidifier up every day. I can keep the door open and I get slightly less perfect leaves, but, like, they're still sizing up with enough light. And, like, you know, if I could have also told myself in, you know, 4 years, you're going to be growing these plants that look like this at this size and they don't need humidity.
Right.
I would have been like, okay, cool, I'm not going to bother. Because filling up the humidifier every day was a nuisance.
Well, that and, man, humidifiers, because they, you don't want, you should, I mean, depending on where you live, you want to be careful about whether or not you're just putting tap water in the humidifiers.
Wait, is that bad?
Yeah. Like, for where I live, the mineral deposits on everything was so bad.
Are you just talking about in terms of cleaning or putting that into the air and breathing?
Putting that in the air because it's going to end up on everything. Like, it was ending up on the plants. It was ending up on my walls. It was ending up, like, there's that. It's going to shorten the lifespan of your humidifier because the pumps and everything are going to get that build up on them that much faster. So, like, it's definitely, and I didn't want to take the time to go and buy distilled water because if you're when you're running a humidifier, you're replacing it daily.
Yeah,
the water itself,
it's a lot of water
and it's expensive. They do make like little,
my friend has a distiller that she uses to
make those are also water. Expensive. Yeah, but yeah, it's a process. It's an option, but it's a process you have to think of. And I was gonna say they make little, like, they look like little fish, like inserts that you can throw in the tank of the humidifier to help.
Oh, like,
I don't know how accurate or how beneficial they actually are, but that's why I stopped using a humidifier, just because.
See, and when I was using a humidifier, I was renting. I didn't own my home. After having done all the things in my home that we have done, I don't want that in the air.
Right.
Hell no.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, and that's not. I don't want to have to clean that off the walls later.
And that's definitely something to consider, you know, when we're talking about how to add humidity. When you're adding a humidifier, when you are actively trying to increase the humidity of your entire home up, you do have to think about things like electronics, your cabinetry. All of that is going to start absorbing that water and cause corrosion on electronics. Your cabinetry may, you know, absorb the water and expand and cause issues. So that's where...
How does this work? Like, in your home where it's like the humidifier is built into the...
That's
furnace.
Yep. So general rule of thumb is like 50% is what we should be living at in home. Like, that's what's beneficial for humans. Like, it's good for our hair and our skin.
And it's going to be detrimental.
We tend to sleep better. Yeah. But like in parts of the world where it's, you know, 80, 90, 100% humidity all day long, they're constantly like wiping stuff down. Electronics go bad. It's an issue. So if you're striving to up the humidity in all of your home, consider sticking or closer to that 50, 55% mark. Don't be trying to push it to the 60, 70.
Well, and like, that's why enclosed spaces for growing are nice. If you want to hit that higher percentage, because like, if I felt like I wanted to run a humidifier in my tent, it's going to mostly stay in the tent.
Yep.
And then I can control it better because it's a smaller space.
Yeah.
And the tent is just the whatever mylar it's made of. Yeah, so I can wipe that down and it's not damaging anything permanently. That's not replaceable or necessary.
Yeah. Like, and I've had a little bit of like mold and stuff start to grow on my tent.
Your vinyl.
Yep. But I mean, yeah, it's easy to take outside, hose down, scrub it a little bit, let it dry in the sun.
It's not like it's a kitchen cabinet.
Right. Which, fun fact, friends, the sun is a natural disinfectant. So if you let stuff sit outside in the sun and those UV rays let it dry out, it will help disinfect things. Mm-hmm. It's not like crazy strong, but it helps, you know. Nice. Just things to think of. So yeah, it's way more manageable if you can have an enclosed space. To get the benefits of the humidity without having to really sacrifice your house as well.
Mm-hmm. So now if we've made the decision we want to add humidity, what are the best practices?
Well, I'm always going to say the enclosed space.
Yeah, I agree.
Because even whether you have an enclosed space with a humidifier, without a humidifier, with, you know, trays or whatever, it's going to just naturally increase.
Yeah, because it's a smaller space and it's enclosed, so it's keeping the humidifier from dissipating into the rest of the room.
Well, and even just your plants transpiring.
Yeah.
It's going to, I'm saying with nothing, if just we put it in a cabinet.
That's doing more than nothing.
Yep.
And it's actually measurable and good.
Yes.
Provided you're not letting stuff go dry, because that will obviously bring your humidity down.
So that's always going to be my number one.
I've grown in a tent. You have a cabinet. I have a entertainment center that I made into a cabinet. We've seen little tiny glass boxes. I have used fish tanks.
Yep.
With a little lid on them. All of these things are great. Have I ever put a humidifier into any of them? No.
I have.
Have I needed to? No. Could I have? Yes.
Yeah.
But like even just that like little enclosed space does wonders.
Yep.
And you can always measure this with a hygrometer. That's the little meter thing. And you can see the difference.
Yeah.
And then as you're like trying to determine how humid you want it, like opening vents or opening doors or cracking doors or making sure it's not weather sealed, making sure it is weather sealed. All of these different factors will help you work towards the percentage of humidity you want to have in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to do a bunch of different things to increase it, decrease it, like give more airflow, get the air moving, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this briefly when we were talking about our humidity cabinets, IKEA greenhouse cabinets. How important it is to have airflow.
Mm-hmm.
Super important. And if you, too much humidity and stagnant air is a recipe for disaster. So you want to make sure you're putting in like just a little fan. And they make cute little USB powered fans that you can just plug into a brick, stick in the wall. Like they're small. They're nice. They get the job done. You don't need something big and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
As I am sitting here listening to my giant greenhouse fan in my tent. That's just because I had an extra.
I will say, I mean, those little USB fans are nice. They definitely have a lifespan. I've definitely killed mine. I need to get new fans in my cabinets. But
you'll know when that stops working because it won't work anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Humidifiers would be my second choice after enclosed space for raising humidity.
Mm-hmm.
The humidifier is, it works really great. When I used it, it was in my bedroom. I kept the door closed, kept the humidity in. The humidity that you pop it pumping into the air with the humidifier, it will disperse in whatever room you're doing it in. So if you want to keep it in, it's best to close the door if you open it. Or if you're doing it in like a really large room or like your living room, or if you have like an open floor plan, it's going to be harder to keep a higher number because it is going to disperse like that. So depending on what kind of room you're working at, you might need a small humidifier, medium humidifier, a large humidifier, or like multiple large humidifiers.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, in my experience, I had little hygrometers at each of my like plant stations. So like plants in front of the window, plants in the cabinet, plants in the kitchen, so that like I could measure where in the room stuff is happening and what it sits at, right? So like that way I know what's what and what's doing. And then if I need to run the humidifier longer, for it to need to turn it off, or if I need to whatever, I know it's quantifiable, it's measurable. You can absolutely see what you need and where it's going. So that is definitely a tool you definitely want to have. Even if you don't have a humidifier, it's nice to be able to measure, see where you're at. Even if you just get one, they're like $8. My brain died.
Sure.
Another way you can raise humidity, and this is asterisk, in an enclosed space. In an enclosed space, pebble trays do work. Like if you have like a little glass box or a little tiny, like a little, any size aquarium with a lid, if you're using a tote, pebble trays will work to raise the humidity in that little section. If you are trying to raise humidity in a whole room, a pebble tray is not going to work for you.
Right.
Locally in the area of the pebble tray, sure, it'll raise humidity a little bit, but like for me, it's so negligible, it's not worth it. It doesn't make a big enough difference that I'm going to bother with it. And I have tried this. I have done this. Back in 2020, I did have those little wee yogurt jars with pebbles in them that I would fill up and stick in each of the pots of my Adansonii that I was growing in Wally Grows at work. Because I was like, oh, the monster Adansonii needs humidity. And like, I would top them off and thinking that would give each plant a little bit humidity. But again, you measure it, you realize, this isn't raising the humidity enough to make a difference. So like, at some point I stopped, but not after all those little pebbles got water mineral deposits on them.
Oh, sure.
I had to bug it, do the cleaning of them before I could reuse them wherever they were going.
Well, and pebble trays, I don't know. Like you said, it's so negligible. Like people will be like, I go from 50 to 56%. That's
6% is not worth it for me.
It's not worth it. And it's going to be set 6% for maybe 2 hours.
Yeah. You're going to keep topping that off. Keep checking it. It's not, it just, to me, 6% isn't worth it. If it was 10%, it's still not worth it to me. If it was 20%, that would be worth it to
me. For 2 hours?
Okay, I guess I'm not considering your two-hour thing. If it's only going to last for 2 hours, not worth it, period. Right. I don't care how. If it raises the humidity 50% for 2 hours only, to me, that's not worth it. Like, sure, it's a cute little burst for your cute little plant, but like long-term, it's not doing anything.
Right.
It's not doing anything.
If it could stay at that 20% bump for the rest, for the entire day,
or maybe, even half the day,
maybe would I be okay with it. But that's where, and I don't do pebble trays in my tent. I just, right now, everything's in trays to make life easier for watering. And what happens is when I'm done watering like my Hoya, I move them to an empty tray and I just leave that tray with the extra water in the tent. And I just leave it. And it's sitting at the bottom so it can evaporate upwards, because we evaporate upwards, friends. So if you're going to put anything to supplement humidity in a tent, consider throwing it at the lowest point. And that, you know, it helps. It sits there and it eventually evaporates out. But I can leave it there for 2 weeks.
I'm similar, except my plants are being watered in the trays and then I don't dump them out.
Oh.
However, well, I am starting to realize I'm thinking I'm getting root rot from that. So I'm going to have to start pulling
depending
that water
on
out.
The plants. My alocasia, I do let them sit in the water a lot longer. But the Hoya, I don't want them to sit. So I move them.
Yeah.
Bad kid. And then the only thing I have to deal with is my cat staring at the tray of water and wanting it.
But mother, I want it.
He wants the spicy water instead of just the regular water. The regular filtered fountain water that he gets.
No, I want fertilizer water.
He wants the spicy water with the springtails.
Fertilize me. Yeah. Gross. This is how nature intended it to be.
Yeah.
Okay, pebble trays, don't do it. Definitely be paying attention to how much it's raising humidity, for how long, and like evaluate if it's worth it for you. If it makes you feel better, I'm not going to tell you not to do it, but like, I don't want you out there telling other people it works.
Yeah.
Because like, if it's not raising humidity for the majority of the day, it's not beneficial to other people. And like, if you, another thing, misting. If you enjoy doing it, mist to your heart's content. However,
you gotta be misting every hour.
Misting, no, constantly. Misting does not do anything. If you are measuring it with a hygrometer, it does not raise your percentage. If you just, you know, couple pumps, doesn't do anything. If you do it a couple times a day, you are not raising the humidity in that area for that plant. Some plants you can and do introduce like powdery mildew or like a fungus, or you know, from having the wet on the foliage for too long. The epiphytes, if your plant is an epiphyte, it will enjoy being spritzed or misted, whatever. It will enjoy that because those plants can absorb moisture through their leaves,
right,
and their other tissues. So, like, those are fine to mist. You can mist those, and it actually does good. It's not raising the humidity. If you have a mister system, which, good on you if you do, you'd have to pay attention to how, like, often you're running it and how much mist is released and how long it lasts for. Mm-hmm. Like, because you can set those up to mist at intervals that could keep your thing up. But then also you're putting all that mist into the air in your
house,
living space. Do you want that?
Yeah.
I guess how different is humidifiers from that? They're quite similar.
I mean, if you have your humidifier running constantly.
Yeah, the humidifier does like the water vapor, not the actual like spritzing water. Of water molecules.
Yeah. I guess I would argue humidifier is better different in that situation.
Yeah, less wet.
Yeah.
The in an enclosed space, like if you have a little terrarium with a misting system, I bet that's awesome. I bet that's great. But again, we're talking about enclosed space.
Yeah.
So there's the difference. Misting with a little water bottle, walking around to all your plants, give them a little spritz spritz. It's for you. It's not for them. It's not doing anything.
We had.
And if you are going to argue with me about this, please just pull out a hygrometer and test it for yourself. You will see with science and data that I am actually right.
Well, we had someone tell us once that they had plants living in their kitchen window and they would spray it like 3 times a day.
And then they would boil water.
Yeah. And then that would keep the humidity, at like 80% or something.
Folks,
and I was like,
measure it. Measure it with the hygrometer and see for yourself.
My first initial reaction when they told me that was that your windows are bad and you need new windows. Because if your windows are bad and you see moisture on the inside, especially in the wintertime, that's a way to increase humidity in your house. But also, you have some bad windows. You should probably consider replacing those.
Putting plastic over them in the winter.
Yeah, right.
Taking a shower raises the humidity in the room. Boiling water and washing dishes raises the humidity. However, again, we're talking about open house versus enclosed space. Mm-hmm. And then also how long it lasts.
Yeah.
So if you take a shower and you have your hygrometer in there, you will watch. It gets up to like 99% humidity while you're in the shower, and then you turn the water off. And then you open the door, and then time passes. That humidity is dispersing. It's not staying put. Well, it's 10 minutes, and then it's gone.
Especially if you have a bathroom fan.
Ooh,
or
yeah.
Your heater
the whole
runs.
Purpose of the bathroom
or
fan
your
is to
air conditioner
that air
turns
move.
On. All that air moves, it's gone.
Yep.
It's completely, it's immediately yep. sucked out of the house.
And again, you can measure this with a hygrometer. See for yourself.
They're $4.
This was something that I did when I got one.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised and shocked immediately that I was like, that didn't work.
Right.
Not Same thing with the boiling of the water. It raises humidity in the moment, but like a moment of humidity is not doing it for your plant.
Right.
They're doing things on a slower scale. They need that humidity to stick around. They need it constantly in the air, or, you know, at least like Christy was saying, on like a, if it fluctuates through the day, that's fine. But like 10 minutes of humidity, why?
Right.
No,
right.
No, don't claim that works.
Something I have done is like in the summertime, if there's like a real big, it's a rainy day or whatever, I'll open windows because that will just draw humidity in.
Yeah.
But again,
then you have to sit in that humidity.
You're looking at, yeah, your own comfortability.
Comfort/
do you want that humid ass air coming in and clinging to your sheets or clinging to your curtains or clinging, you know, it's bottom line. It's not worth it, in my opinion, in the general household.
Yep.
That's why anything that's just not in a tent is going to live in ambient humidity and either deal or die.
Yep. So let's just reinforce one more time. Get in an enclosed space.
Yeah. If you're going to grow
plants. There's so many options. The enclosed space is the way to do the raising of the humidity.
It's a, what's the word? Prerequisite. If you're going to choose to grow plants that need the humidity, a la alocasia, begonia, some orchids.
Yeah.
Like you just get yourself in a closed space to start with and go from there.
Yeah. This is the plants that I have. Like I've had them for years and they've lived in both and I've seen how they grow in each space, and like I know, like for example, begonia brevimosa will grow so much better when it's in a little humidity. And like honestly, 50% is good for him.
Sure.
Seriously, he doesn't get crispy leaves at 50% as long as you don't let him dry out of the way. Begonia rex grows better, grows faster, is bigger, bushier, fuller in humidity.
Mm-hmm.
And like some of these are they're thin leaved.
Yep.
So like they don't have the ability to like hold as much moisture in their leaf tissue as other people. So having the humidity helps.
Yep.
And like for me, like on begonias, noticing brown crispy edges, like if they're not growing as well, and like there's even just trying to add humidity and seeing if it makes a difference. Like
right.
I noticed so much more vibrant begonias and they grow like weeds.
Yeah. And I would
grow out of control.
Yeah. And that's a really good general rule of thumb, I would say, is if it's got a real thin leaf, consider putting in humidity from the get-go. Because I think of Calathea white fusion, which I know you didn't do that.
I grew Calathea white fusion without added humidity.
But
that one, it does great in humidity, though,
yes.
too.
Your alocasia, you know, green velvet. I know.
Humidity.
But if you think green velvet versus dragon scale,
dragon scale's got a much thicker leaf.
Yep.
Tangerusa is one that's got a really thin
yep.
leaf.
Regal
shield.
My dragon's
has
breath
never needed
likes being
humidity.
In. Regal Shield's kind of a weird transitional. Is it really? I don't wouldn't say it's a thin leaf, but it's got a little bit of that armor to it.
Yeah.
Just a touch.
I had a huge plant. Yeah. It recently got spider mites, and I decided to cut the whole thing off and regrow it from a stump.
Well, so. And that's...
I still have it, but, you know, all the tissues in the compost.
Yeah. And that's really where I argue the more established, the older, the larger your plant is, the less it's going to need humidity.
Good point. Yes, I agree.
My Tycon, which is like half the size of Kalen's, will never need humidity. It will never need added humidity.
Yeah.
It is just fine. My Billy will never need added humidity. My Ficae, Ficuses, they're trees. They don't need humidity. They're used to being like exposed to the sun. You know, the larger and more established your plant is, the less likely it's going to need that added humidity.
I like, if I have a small philodendron, small plant, especially if he's struggling, like those I will put in humidity to help them out. It's like a little rehab.
A little spa day. Spa period.
A little plant hospital, because it's going to help them do what they're already doing a little easier, because with the added humidity in the air, you know, and transpiration and stuff, it's just easier for the plant. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I get a little guy, or I'm propagating, or I'm starting a new plant, like, humidity definitely helps. And then I will wean them off their humidity so that they can go back in my open air.
Yeah, and water props are great to put in cabinets, too, because that's just water sitting in the cabinet to help with humidity.
For me, water props live on my kitchen sink so that they're cute and I look at them. Fair. And then I can fill them up. Otherwise, I will forget to fill them up. Yeah. Let's see. I made a list. Mm. Oh, with grouping plants.
Ah.
Putting plants in groups does raise the humidity, but again, it's not going to be your end-all be-all. Like, if I have a bunch of begonia rexes I want to grow amazing and I put them all together in front of my south-facing window, like... That's not the way to raise humidity.
That's what I'm going to do, though, instead of doing, like, humidifiers, you know? Like, I'm not going to just have plants willy-nilly one-off, you know, in my house. They are all going to be together.
It's funny, because I've done this, but not intentionally for the humidity grouping. It's because I'm trying to fit as many plants in the window as I can.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like a natural trade-off, right?
Yeah. I can't put plants over on the TV stand, but I can shove them all in the window. And then, yeah, the bonus of them being, you know, grouped together raises the humidity in that area, like a little bubble, just a little bit. And actually, when I was telling Christine, I was like, I should from around the house, pull all my hygrometers from wherever they're living, put them in the living room, and like, I'll put them in three different spots. And just at any given time, I can see like, oh, it's 5% more over here and, you know, whatever over here. So like.
And you should put one just in a plant and see what happens.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, around the plant, in the plant, underneath the plant, around on the other side of the room from the plant. Yeah. And that's the, like, humidity is easier to measure than light because the humidity or the hygrometers are $4 to $8.
Well, that and they're constantly so reading.
That too. So it's an easy thing to be able to measure for your plants to know if you're providing enough, if you're providing any at all, if you claim... This practice is giving you humidity. You can instantly say yes, it is, or no, it's not.
That is not to shit on people too hard, but yeah, when we have asked, like they always say, well, I do pebble trays and it raises humidity. And we always go, well, have you read it? Like, have you actually done a reading? They go, no. Mm-hmm. Yep. So how can you tell? How can you say with undeniable proof that it is raising enough to help your plants?
And like, you know, people say the same thing with light. Oh, it's getting enough light. Is it? Have you measured it? But like, light meters are kind of expensive in terms of, you know, they're four times?
It'd be 10 times, a $4 hygrometer and a $40 light meter.
Yeah.
10 times.
I've never found a $4 hygrometer though. I'm looking in the wrong place. They're always $8.
Menards. Oh. Or Home Depot, you can usually get like a 2 or 3 pack for like 10 bucks, 10 or 12 bucks. They're just the little cheap white ones.
Yeah. So it's so easy. So easy to see what you're doing and if it's making a difference. And like, you don't need a fancy IKEA cabinet. And also, like, if you do have an IKEA cabinet, you don't need to spend all the time to weather seal it necessarily because you don't want 100%.
Right.
And like, to get 100%, you know how, okay, for me, so easy. I went to Target, I bought a $6 small tote, put my plants in it, put the lid on it, boom.
100%.
Boom. Done. Didn't even have to think about that one.
Yeah.
And I know, I'm like, okay, the other thing I use is the Ziploc bags.
Yes.
Ziploc bags, 100% right there, boom, done.
Yep. And that's, Ziploc bags are great because you can put your plants just on a window shelf, like on a windowsill in a Ziploc bag.
Yep.
If you don't want or don't have the ability to get a full enclosed space,
throw it in a Ziploc bag. You don't need one. Yeah. Just put it in a plastic bag. Yep.
I'd be a little mindful about direct sun hitting that.
Yeah. I wouldn't personally.
About getting too hot? Okay.
I don't... I mean, maybe in like, you know, the
middle of summer on a 11, you know, UV intense day. I don't know.
I guess it depends on how much humidity you're going for. You can also just like crack the bag open ever so slightly for a little breathing air, which will still keep the humidity high, but allow a little bit of airflow.
Sure.
So if it does get too hot, that air just boop right out the hole.
Yeah.
So easy peasy lemon squeezy. And then I hope all our listeners out there either stop or just never started in the first place, but giving incorrect information about how to raise humidity in your home.
To our listeners that are like in Florida, I'm jealous. I wish just have humidity basically year round.
I don't know. I don't like Florida in the winter or summer.
I've actually never been, so I can't really.
The humidity, Christine.
I can only imagine. Yeah. Well, I lived in Virginia, and in Virginia in the winter or in the summertime, it's like 115% humidity or whatever it is. It's stupid.
Yeah. It feels like you could, so humid you could cut it with a knife.
It sucks. And we were always working in the haunted houses in the middle of the winter or summertime. Oh, it sucked.
Yeah. So I do think I could live in a place with higher humidity year round, like something like Thailand. But you get used to it.
Yeah, but
in Minnesota, we get the like.
Again, though, like the having to one day and wipe your floors down like multiple times a day because it's just sitting.
I've never considered that before, so I will. I'm not planning on moving to Thailand or anything, but I'm just saying, you know, being out and about in such humidity, like your body would get used to it eventually. But here in Minnesota, we'd never get used to it because it's here one day, gone the next, and then back in a week or so.
It's true.
You just never get the opportunity to.
We haven't had a nice, like, humid summer in a minute.
Good. I don't want to sweat.
That's true.
Anything else we need to add?
I don't think so.
We covered everything.
Humidity is a myth. Don't do it. No, I'm kidding.
It's not a myth. Misting is a myth, though. Yeah.
Misting and pebble trays and.
Yeah. All right. Plant of the week.
Woo.
I have mine picked out. It's my Syngonium chiapensis.
Ooh, variegated or none?
None. Mm-hmm. I recently put. I had a plant. I took a cutting last fall. I made the cutting into a plant. I let the butt cut grow back. And then recently I potted both of these plants together because they were looking fabulous. And I have big leaves and they're nice and deep dark and they're very soft and easily petable. And it just looks really great right now.
Nice.
I'm loving it.
Nice. I'm going to do, and I know I've been doing this one a lot lately, but I really, just really love my dragon's breath alocasia. It's just keeps putting, and like that guy struggled for so long and I thought I had lost him at one point, but it just keeps putting out larger and larger and larger and longer leaves.
Dang.
He's getting too much light in the cabinet, but I know he's happy in there because of the humidity, so I'm trying to find a nice middle ground because I want to get to more of the like darker leaves with the silver sheen on them, whereas now they're a little bit more of a
silvery
middle. Well, they're more of like a medium green with the silver.
Middle.
Yeah. So I'm trying to find that happy space. But he's putting out a giant leaf right now, and
love it.
I know. I love him. He's so cool.
Very.
I hope I don't rot him.
Like mine.
Yeah.
Well, I just gave mine a wiggle.
I've seen a lot of people,
and I was like,
A lot of people. That tends to be the last. Like their dragon's breath eventually rots. So I'm trying to not.
Well, that was what my first one did.
Yep.
The first one I grew up and grew big and I just started over. So I'm just like, is this one I want to keep growing? I don't think so at this time.
Yeah.
I might just pull them.
Bailey, if you listen to our podcast, send me a picture of yours if you still have yours. I want to see what that one's doing because yours was really
good.
That
was where mine came from.
Same.
Yeah.
Because you
have Bailey's trial.
I got it. You had me take it on for a little bit and that was my payment was I took a corm.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that part. Okay. Yep.
So that was all part of that.
I like sharing plants with you, Christine.
It works. You want a platinum bisma? I'm going to go probably split that up tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I'll take one of those. Those are cool.
Yeah.
And you have your variegated polynura ready for me yet?
Yep. He's growing.
Cool.
I think he's ready to go.
Sweet.
You just told me not to bring it here because of aphids. So let me know when you're ready.
Aphids?
Yeah, a couple episodes.
Well, you had aphids.
No, you said you can't bring your Hoyas here because I have aphids. You said it in an episode, I swear.
Aphids?
Maybe you meant scale.
Possibly, yeah. I like the aphids. It's a summer thing, and I try not to put my Hoyas outside because we have a ton of aphids here.
Yeah.
And then I just don't want to deal with them later. But I have scale. I don't have aphids. Oops.
You're all good.
Yeah. Actually, okay. So I'm update on my scale, everybody. I went and I checked all the plants, took all the scale I found off. I did all big round of Benny bugs. And now coming up this Thursday, I'll be getting more lacewing eggs, and I have to go and I'm slowly working my way through all the plants to check to see mostly any scale I missed, mm-hmm. to get the adults off, because you remember you have to manually like hand remove them. But I think it's going well. I'm not seeing like the same level of honeydew on the leaves I was. I know the lace wings are eating all the things.
Yeah.
So got 3 rounds. So this will be round number 2.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Sweet.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Yeah. We'll catch you in the next one.
Good week, and have another good week ahead. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.